Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
It's a Tuesday edition of Zero Block 30, and today we have seven rounds in the magazine. Round number one, Canada is introducing these things called veteran villages in Calgary, and the places sound dope. Sometimes when you repackage a negative and tackle them head on, it takes a little bit of effort, but props to some organizations for making that effort. Round number two, military families can be weird. If you don't believe me, just tune into a little show called The Podfathers. A family and some pals made a huge mistake by making some candy that looks like crystal meth on Kirtland Air Force Base. Just a little casual meth goofing on the Air Force Base. Round number three, China is a bunch of cheaters when it comes to military games. I have zero issues with that, and it's not because I'm being an integrity violator. Round number four, Malingerer's worst nightmare is coming true. Science is developing a technology to not only tell when you're sick, but they're going to know when you're sick 48 hours in advance. Round number five, just because one dog was involved in the al-Baghdadi raid doesn't mean you should buy one, you fucking idiots. These dogs are like alligators with fur. Do not buy a Belgian Malinois. Round number six, it's November, and we're going to talk about coming at boot camp or during training. Did you do it or not? And finally, round number seven, there's an elephant that is terrorizing his community so much that he's being called Osama bin Laden, for real. Like, they're calling an elephant bin Laden because he's such a terrorist. It's not funny that five people died, but kinda. And all that today is going to be brought to you by our good friends at SeatGeek. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it is by far the easiest way I found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere with just a few taps. I can instantly find seats. We recently got it, like I said last week, Dear Evan Hansen. There's another one. Did you guys know? This is might be breaking news for a lot of people listening on here. I'm coming up to New York. Do you guys know that there's a Jagged Little Pill Broadway show?
Yes.
I did not. And I would go to that immediately.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, my God.
You don't know what Jagged Little Pill is, you fucking boot?
The song like about that's Joey from Full House. And
oh, is that Alanis Morissette?
Every time I scratch my nails down, someone else is back.
Is Alanis Morissette?
Okay, can we stop singing? Mother of God. You did that. This is your fault. When you went away. I honestly, we might lose listeners this week. It's just too much singing, too many weeks in a row. If you want the pod to keep going, just go to SeatGeek. It saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and to find amazing deals. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code CHAPS today. That's promo code CHAPS for $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. You can get it if you're going to Alanis Morissette. You can get it if you're going to a Spurs game or Army, Air Force, whatever you want to do. We will be doing the Barstool Gold Ask Me Anything. It's a monthly thing where they do Ask Me Anything's, me, Kate, and Cons. Well, I'll be there. Young Brand might be in attendance too. I'm not sure how that will go. That being said, it's going to happen on Veterans Day, which is November 11th, the day after the Marine Corps birthday. I will be up in New York for that too. But we're getting close to Veterans Day. And I know that because I'm already getting a shit ton of emails. Are you guys? Not emails from like pals or anything like that. Emails from companies that are like ramping up, like, oh, we got to sell stuff because it's veterans.
Oh, yes. Stuff. Yeah, tons.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
I got one last night. I must have signed up for this website probably 10, 15 years ago. It was like you sign up for it, you get like 5 or 10% off shipping fees or something like that. Most places offer free if you get over a certain amount of money now. But this place, it said, because you served, we want to give you the opportunity to get what you deserve, and that's to enter for free into a raffle to win a Yeti cooler.
Fuck yeah.
If that isn't what I signed up for when I decided to be in the Army, I don't know what is.
Indeed.
I mean, just how ridiculous that, like, who's typing that up and be like, yep,
this
I'm
going
to equate service in the military during the longest war in American history to getting a Yeti cooler.
I mean, like, Yeti coolers are top of the line. They're really some of the best.
They're
on
not
the
as Orc. Well, they're not as good as Orca, the Barstool one, the Viva one.
That's true. Yeah, no, they're not as good. They're not as good.
Either way, you win that puppy, then you can take it around in your car to get all the freebies from the restaurants that you get on Veterans Day. Mm-hmm. So it really works out. You can really stack up.
And there was another one that I just want to mention before we get into the show. Home Depot has rolled out a new commercial where they talk about, you served your country sometimes overseas. Now serve your community by working at Home Depot. Is that really serving the community?
I mean, I don't know. You go to Home Depot. Sometimes those people are very nice and friendly and very helpful.
I've worked at a Home Depot before. Everybody I worked with
was friendly.
Thank
you for your
service, Brent. Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome for my service.
Well, there you go.
What section did you work in, Brent?
The gardening section.
Did you really?
Oh, that's a busy section during the Christmas season because that's where they keep all the trees and shit.
Yeah, I was like wheeling carts of plants and florals back and forth, watering them all day. It sucked. I hated it.
Oh, the point.
Well, you did serve your community.
Yep.
Indeed.
Yeah, I was a staple.
Quick top three power rankings of the plants that you pushed around, Brent.
Orchids, lilies, and roses. Those are the only flowers I know.
Perfect.
Excellent. I'll take that as a
good top three.
Answer. That was fantastic. All right, let's hop in to the topics of the day. First up, we're going to talk about Canada because we've been doing this. Our guy, he's been a guest on the show. Jason Kander is actually doing this in Missouri as well. Kate, why don't you walk us through what's happening in Canada?
Yeah, up in Canada, 15 neat little houses with exteriors covered in wood and neutral paint have sprung up in southeast Calgary. The buildings will house veterans in need, part of a collaboration project led by Homes for Heroes. Move-in day is this Friday, and 15 veterans, going from the Korean War all the way to as recent as Afghanistan, will be moving in. They'll be new nabes. Each 275-square-foot house has complete amenities, and residents in the village will also have access to individualized counseling and resources to connect them to other services. That I love. So they're not just giving them a place to stay. They're giving them all these different things to help them finally. The end goal is to get them on their feet so that they can move out of the tiny homes and into their own place and have their own jobs. The design of the village is meant to mirror how military barracks would be set up, which I also love because they'll probably, even though these veterans are from different eras and it's a big mix of people, they'll all be able to support each other and help each other. And I love that. Yeah, so the land for the project was bought from the city by the Home for Heroes Foundation at a discount, and the foundation hopes to see similar housing built across the country. Land has already been acquired for the same sort of village in Edmonton, and the estimates that each village costs anywhere between $3.5 to $5 million to create. But I really love it, and I know it's not just for veterans. I've seen tiny home communities pop up for recovering addicts, for all sorts of different things, and I think it's great. It's a neat way that people can feel a little bit of independence and have their own little outdoor and indoor space, but they also have this great sense of community and, again, all these resources to really help them get back on their feet. And the one in – I'm a huge fan of Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. I was just up last night watching their trip to Japan.
A casual stunt. He actually posted the video that went viral of my daughter.
There you go. Oh, wow. Jonathan Van Ness from Queer Eye?
No, it wasn't Jonathan.
Karamo.
I forget which one.
Anyways, don't get me started. Yeah. The one in the U.S., the Veterans Community Project, they have one in Kansas City. They're working on one in Colorado now and looking for some other cities, too. And check them out on Instagram at VCP_HQ. And you can see an overview of that village. And it just looks like it's like a little slice of paradise, a very cool respite.
Yeah. And I mean, not to shake a stick at $3.5 to $5 million, because that is a large sum of money, but relative to what some organizations do for veterans, I think that's a really small sum to ultimately have what I would suspect is a very large impact on these veterans. So it's a small price to pay to impact positively 15 people's lives, because I think so often, at least in my experience, you go to like the VA hospital and you see these gentlemen, these ladies, and one thing goes wrong in their life, and then it kind of starts to spiral and snowball to where they find themselves homeless or addicted to drugs or alcohol. So you have a situation where you're getting them going back in the right direction with just this house and the counseling, and you put it all together, and I think it really can get them going back in the right direction.
Yeah, it's very cool. And they also have, like,
I can't, and because they have it set up like a barracks, I can't wait to see videos of, like, the Korean War vets, like, goofing around on the floor buffer. I want to see them doing that. Give me two Lance Corporals right now, and it's, like, some 85-year-old guy, like, walking out there, like, what do you need, sir? I'm ready to go.
I would love to visit one of these communities. Put that on my bucket list, go visit and check it out and see what it's all about.
There's one kind of like that here in San Antonio. I've been a few times, and it's pretty nice, like the way that they treat people and the way that it's really helped. Like, I talked to several people who said that it really did pick them up by their old bootstraps and get them going again and got them to see that they're not the only one that struggles. Because sometimes you do feel like a fucking loser, man. Let's be honest. Like, we get messages all the time, like, from people who, like, I just got out of the military. I have no which way to go. I feel like a loser. that happens. Like, and you're not alone. And when you see other people that can commiserate that you're in that step of life too, and teach you how to take the next step and get back going on your feet, I think it's a beautiful thing. And that's what we should be doing to help our brothers and sisters in arms. No doubt about it. Let's move on to round number two. Round number two comes to us from the Air Force Time by Stephanie Lucy. It seems that someone at Kirtland Air Force Base in New Mexico may have gone a little Walter White for Halloween. Some trick-or-treaters going door-to-door in Kirtland's on-base residential area ended up with some small plastic baggies containing a crystalline blue substance. Kirtland spokesman Ms. Baylock said, and she confirmed to the Air Force Times, although the substance resembles the blue sky crystal meth, and it does, we'll put some of it up on our social media channels. It looks exactly like crystal meth. And, I mean, it's not outrageous to think that there would be crystal meth on military bases, too. Like, just to get handed out. I mean, obviously, they're not going to hand it out and put it in candy bags. But I remember being on Marine Corps Base Quantico, and they had the little town on the inside, Quantico Town. If you lived in Quantico Town and you weren't a master guns, you were on crystal meth. Like, just straight really? Up, you were. Oh, yeah. Like, that was crystal meth city. Oh. Like, big time. Like, people walking out, like, where the fuck did your teeth go, devil dog? Like, you don't have any. Oh, because I'm not in the Marine Corps. I just live in this little ass town. So having crystal meth on a military installation wouldn't blow my mind at all. But they said that it's probably not the best idea to be passing out even fake stuff. Do you guys remember getting, whenever you were kids, did you get candy cigarettes?
Yes.
Whenever you
get candy exactly cigarettes? That's exactly where my mind went with this story and how cool you thought you were with the candy cigarettes.
Yeah.
Kate, were you allowed to smoke candy cigarettes when you were little?
Oh, yeah. My dad smoked Marlboro Reds. And he'd be in his Ford F-150 with a Marlboro Red, and I'd be in the passenger seat with my little candy cigarette. And then I wound up smoking for quite some time. So
yeah, they do say candy cigarettes for the family. The gateway cigarette.
It is, indeed.
I bet it is, actually. I bet a little Halloween heater gets the old blood flowing.
Indeed, it does.
Nothing wrong with that. But OCIS, the military installations investigative service, was not happy. They're not happy at all about having fake weed or fake meth. And they said that the person could face charges. I don't know what charges you could get somebody for this. Like, just
I don't know.
Like meth goofing?
Maybe
like,
child
endangerment.
Child endangerment, maybe.
I can see.
But it's not actually drugs.
It's
just candy. So
it reminds me of the
know.
Scene in A Few Good Men when Tom Cruise is like trying to go and get one of the young Lance Corporals off, and he's like, what are you going to charge him with? Having a dime bag of oregano?
Right.
Like, my client's an idiot. That's not against the law.
Right.
Well,
right.
The Office of Special Investigations at Kirtland Air Force Base did figure out, they traced back, because multiple people were reporting, hey, my kid has like the Walter White blue crystal meth in their Halloween candy bag. Mm-hmm. They did search back and they figured out whose house it was. So they do know who it was. I love this line. Describing the person only as a member of Team Kirtland when they reached out to the PR office.
Yeah.
They're like, we know who it is. We're not going to tell you who it is, but we can tell you they're still a member of Team Kirtland. So, you know.
I don't understand, though, is – I guess it's the parents. Because if I was a kid and I got a small plastic baggie with blue what would look like rock candy, because at that age I didn't know what crystal meth was. So I guess it's just these parents are getting really scared and up in arms. And obviously you're not going to take candy that is just in an individually pre-wrapped bag that's not like store-bought. You know what I mean? It's the situation where you dump out your candy, and if anything looks kind of homemade, you throw that out no matter what.
Yeah. And I don't think any parents with half a brain looked at that and was like, it really is crystal meth. But they were probably like, who's the moron in our neighborhood who's doing this?
Yeah,
but
I don't know.
I love to think, though, you're an airman, mm-hmm. and you have been working overtime. You're fucking exhausted. You're preparing for a deployment. Your spouse is like, don't worry, I got the Halloween candy situation taken care of. You're like, okay, thanks. Whew, you're busy that night.
One less thing.
Next thing you know, OSI is at your door, and your spouse is like, ooh. Like, ooh.
Yeah, it's because your spouse was in the fucking kitchen mixing up crystal meth right. rock candy like he's fucking pushing
with tea. A big pair of tidy whities on, getting ready for the...
But I also like the idea of the OSI guy, like getting the call, like you're the OSI duty officer. And they're like, hey, we got some possible crystal meth, but we're pretty sure it's candy.
Yeah.
So he gets out his little cigar or his pipe. And he's like, ma, yes, I see you put in a little bit of crystal meth in the Halloween bag. See?
Yeah.
I just don't know how you make the jump. I wonder if the person who's just so stupid, going back to the comparison you made, Chaps, that they just really like Pop Rocks, and they're like, you know what? I got a dynamite homemade recipe for rock candy
Rocks
that I'm gonna
slap,
hit.
Dude. Everybody loves Pop Rocks.
Pop Rocks is the greatest.
Well, the base is right near Albuquerque, and this the movie just came out, and I feel like somebody genuinely was like, oh, this will get a laugh, and I bet.
I just think people are stupid. So whoever did this probably just didn't think they were doing anything wrong. But also,
just off the top of your head, best Halloween costume you saw this year?
Wow,
I saw.
Mine, go ahead, Kate.
I saw a giant fallopian tube, and they were inside the hula hoop with this like flesh-colored fabric around, like so their head was in the tube, and their face was the egg, and then they had a wand with sperm on it.
That's pretty good.
It was wacky. It was down in the village. I don't know.
I saw a guy with one of those dogs that looks like a mop, and he had the leash that was just like a mop handle, a broom handle, and he was walking around as a janitor pushing the mop. I thought that was
pretty
clever.
That's pretty good. Yeah. My two favorite I both saw on Barstool's Twitter account. One was it was another vagina one, but it was with the it mask on, so it was clit with the IT at the end.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was a really good one. And then there was another one with a lady was wearing a black sweater, and it had like obvious cum stains, like fake cum stains all over it, and with a name tag, Eileen, cum on Eileen.
Yes, okay. I like
fun
that.
Note, we do, our family's huge and weird, and so for every wedding, whoever gets married, we sing a song for that cousin. We take the words, we Weird Al Yankovic it. We take the words to a popular song and change it. So when my cousin Colleen got married, and somebody's like, oh, what about like, come on, Colleen? No, that's not what it means. Like, no, we're like, no, we can't do that one for the wedding.
I love that.
I bet her mom and dad really love that.
Yeah, yeah. We decided to go with something else.
That's good. Let me get your guys' thoughts, though, real quick. How do you think it should go when you have these celebrities that do these really ornate Halloween costumes? I personally am not impressed by that because they have such money and resources that it's very easy for them to have an awesome Halloween costume. I think it's better when you have stuff that we've described with, you know, regular folk, quote unquote, who just make up something without those resources and professional makeup artists and such.
There you go.
That's how I feel.
Kate has no thoughts on the matter. I agree, though.
Wait.
Heidi Klum doing 10 hours of makeup, like with a professional makeup artist, not impressed.
I walked over to see it myself. I was 10 feet away from her, and she waved at me, by the way, here in the city. Oh. Also, shout out to everybody.
10 points to Gryffindor for Kate getting waved at by Heidi Klum.
She did. I'm pretty sure she winked at me, and I winked back. I was like, oh. I was wearing a full beard at the time for my own costume, so she thought it was probably a hot lumberjack. Also, shout out to everybody who responded to our What Would a Military Haunted House Have in It?
That was so
good. The answers to that, I know Halloween has passed and we're in November now, but the answers to that were so great. So check us out on Instagram or Twitter at ZeroBlog30. See those funny answers.
And it was 35 degrees here in San Antonio, so it's officially Christmas season.
Oh.
Bryn, let's play a little bit of All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Big shout out to Business Insider. Love following them on Twitter. Great stories, great movies, all good stuff. Anyway, a Chinese team got kicked out.
That was weird.
Business Insider sucks, dude. I'm just kidding.
Anyway.
Big Business Insider fan.
Huge.
Shot me
number one fan.
Saying they suck. I'm sure they're delightful.
Anyway, a Chinese team got kicked out of the Military World Games in China after accusations of, quote, extensive cheating from six European nations. On Monday, China took gold, silver, and fourth place in the women's middle distance orienteering challenge, as well as the silver in the men's event. For those who don't know what orienteering is, it's land navigation except sprinting, basically. So you have the compass, you have the topographic map, and you have to find points, but you're sprinting. Anyway, their celebrations were very short-lived. The middle distance competition was unfortunately overshadowed by extensive cheating by the Chinese team, the International Orienteering Federation said in a press release. Didn't know that was a thing. The IOF said it was discovered.
I've been a member for at least 15 years.
Said it was discovered and proven that Chinese runners received illegal assistance both by spectators in the terrain, markings, and small paths prepared for them in which only they were aware of. So if you're trying to run through the woods, having a path is certainly a lot easier. The national teams of Russia, Switzerland, France, Belgium, Poland, and Austria submitted a formal complaint, and the jury disqualified everyone in the home orienteering team. Business Insider contacted the People's Liberation Army and China's Ministry of Defense for comment, but is yet to receive a response. The IOF said it rejected an appeal from China.
Oh, so they definitely lost. So that means one of the countries that were pals with won.
Yes, athletes from Russia's military were then awarded gold in both the men's and women's events. Oh,
damn. So China cheated. They got the boot, and then Russia swooped in.
Yes.
Where the hell's the U.S. in all this? Where are we winning orienteering?
I don't think it's for us. I think we got probably lost along the way. We were trying to put in our shit on that DTS travel website, and we couldn't do it, so we couldn't go over and play. But I have no problem with cheating on orienteering.
Why?
I have no problem with it at all because that's part of it. If you could cheat in anything, like WAN nav, I think you do.
I hate that sentiment more than anything on the planet, and you're wrong, and that's ugly. There. I said it.
Wow. I don't know if she's joking or not.
I'm not.
In general, I'm not a fan of cheating.
That's shitty.
I'm a big fan of cheating.
Well, I don't know what to say to that, really, yeah, to be honest with you.
I mean, why not? If you're doing land nav, I think that there's sometimes that land nav gets a little bit out of hand. Like, I remember being in Staff Academy. I fucking cheated all the time in Staff Academy.
How would you cheat at land nav?
How did I?
Yes.
I found out where the recon dudes were and just followed them.
Well, see, I don't think that's cheating so much as that is utilizing resources. That's being smart. Yeah. I don't think that's cheating.
They did
cheating.
It all the time. I didn't do it all the time. We started that motherfucker at like 2 a.m. It was February in Quantico. It was cold. There's snow on the ground. Because there's snow on the ground, you have all kinds of illumination from the moon. Like, you can see everything. So mm-hmm. I just tried to pick out where the two sergeants who were in reconnaissance were, followed them, and I was out of there in like an hour and 45 minutes when it probably would have taken me like 3 hours.
So I don't have a problem with that. Again, I think that's utilizing your resources. But I do think in the military it is a good skill to have to be able to do basic land nav. Although we have GPS and Blue Force Tracker these days and it makes it pretty idiot-proof, I think it is important to actually know how to do it.
I'm just picturing all these little goofballs. Who this is their sport.
Yeah.
Is compass and a map, and they're like, whoa, gleepin', gleepin'. And then they got fucking China cheating, and they work so hard, and they're clippy-clopping around in the mountains, and they got cheaters. And I bet you, I'm going to say it, I bet Russia cheated too.
Probably.
Didn't you cheat at a pizza eating challenge a couple weeks ago?
Ooh.
That was different.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was for a goof. It was very obvious for laughs.
Yes.
But I will say, I'm on orienteeringusa.org, and there's like teams across the country.
We had a team at my school, yeah.
The like, World Games 2021 are coming up.
That's the least surprising shit ever.
It's like a fucking thing.
It's a big deal. It's a very big deal.
I honestly could see Kate getting heavily involved in orienteering.
Yes, I was just thinking as a hiker.
You like to go on hikes and shit.
Oh, dude, so... Over in I have family in Ireland, and
where don't you have family?
I know. So they have, it's like Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, but it's their Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, it's co-ed,
mm-hmm.
and it's heavily based around orienteering. They'll take these kids, my like Irish second cousins, from the time they're like 12, they put them in a clump of like, here's four 12-year-olds. They drop them off.
In the middle of nowhere,
and then they have to find their way. And like the whole country knows of this, like, or so like people just know of there's teenagers sleeping in your backyard. They're just trying to get home. Like, they're part of the orienteering scouts. Like, it's wild the shit they do. But they learn from a young age how to do this shit. I would never.
I mean, it's survivor.
It's a good skill to have.
Or else. Yeah, yeah. I do. Like, I do think having a good sense of direction.
Like Hansel and Gretel style.
Yes.
That's a good thing to do. All right, let's move on to round number four. Round number four is brought to you by our good friends at Movember. Barstool is proud to be working with Movember to raise fund and awareness for men's health. Movember is the leading charity dedicated to changing the face of men's health around the world. This Movember, whatever mustache you grow, it will save a bro. Your support will change the face of men's health, raising awareness for funds for prostate cancer, testicular cancer, that's balls, folks, mental health, and suicide prevention, which you all know we are very passionate about here at Zero Block 30. Join us on the Barstool Movember team and help
Zero
us change
Block
the face.
Doherty.
Hey, come in, listen to Zero Block Doherty. Whatever you do, listen to Doherty.
All right. For every $50 you fundraise on our team, you will enter the chance to win and join us at Army Navy live college football show in December. Head to Movember.com/Barstool to join our team, grow your mustache, and raise funding for your chance to win. I no longer have a full facial hair cover on all over my face. Now it's time to grow a little mo to save a bro. Go to Movember.com/Barstool to join our team now. All right, round number four. I'm so excited about this one because when I saw it, the company gunner inside me, that doesn't sound right.
Did he buy you dinner first? No.
So the company gunner inside my heart still was like fluttering because I would love to have had this whenever I was on active duty. This story comes from us from a website called NextGov. It's by Aaron Boyd. He said, when service members get sick, it can have a serious repercussion on the unit's ability to execute critical missions. That's true. If you have a unit and everybody's sick, you can't do your job. The Defense Threat Reduction Agency, or the DTRA, as they're widely known, widely known as the DTRA, is trying to get ahead of this problem by developing a predictive algorithm that knows whether a service member is falling ill due to anything from a cold to exposure to biological weapons. Up to 48 hours before they even start to show symptoms. They said, think of it as a check engine light for the human body. Okay, is that your note in there?
Yeah, let's hope that the only way to check for it is to put a long, like a oil check, a little metal.
In a place you don't want it to go.
Pull up the old...
What
tailpipe.
Kate's alluding to is sticking something in your ass, using it, using its own globally collected data sets. Phillips was able to develop a unique algorithm for the Defense Department using 165 distinct biomarkers across 41,000 cases. The team was able to create an algorithm which the company says can predict an infection 48 hours before clinical suspicion, with the better than, and this is remarkable, 85% accuracy. For comparison, this performance lies in between blood-based breast and prostate cancer screening tests and
I put this part in italics because I was like, I'm gonna be honest, I have no idea what the fuck these last two paragraphs
yeah
mean.
So they have a bunch of science word. Basically what I imagine this is that your unit is going to give you a little bit of a bracelet that you're gonna wear that they can take biological markers to know if you're going to be sick. So instead of you have 0430 PT, you try to call your staff sergeant, you try to call your platoon sergeant, your platoon commander, you're like, hey, I'm sick, I need to go to sick call. They're going to be like, okay, bitch, let me pull up my little fucking app. Oh no, it says Corporal Mannion is good to go. She is cleared hot. There is no sickness and has not been for 48 hours. She is in fact malingering. I think this is terrible for junior troops.
Well,
terrible.
Not only that, I think depending on what the app says your illness is, I think a lot of leadership will just be like, well, that's fine. You can do this with a cold.
What if you get an alert? It has push notifications because it's on iOS. And it's like, oh, Corporal Bren got AIDS. Sorry.
That's terrible. But yeah, that's going to be rough.
Yeah, that's not going to be great.
Well, it would know 2 days in advance. So it would say, stay away from that gunny that is inside you. This one off the rails.
I'm glad we circled back on that.
I wonder if this will be able to detect STDs as well.
Well, no, how would it know 2 days in advance? Somebody's
going
to make
this guy's going on pass this weekend.
He's got to stay in on base. He's going to make a poor choice at the Dolphin Motel on Saturday.
That dude
night.
You're supposed to get with, don't do it. Bad case of the genital warts.
Do you remember what the worst illness you ever had when you were? There's nothing worse than being super sick when you're in uniform.
I was deployed.
It did kind of feel good, like if your leadership would come check on you just to make sure you were good, and you open up the door and it was obvious that you were super sick. It was like, yeah, bitch, you thought I was Merlingering, but here I am. I've got the flu and I'm about to die.
I got a trash bag full of vomit to prove it.
I was deployed switching units to go to a new job, and I was in between, and I had some Iraqi food poisoning, flu. And I didn't have a unit yet. Like, I hadn't gotten to my new unit. So basically no one cared about me. So I was just alone for 3 days. Just fever, throwing up, coming out of both ends. Just not good.
Not great. No. That was mine, was food poisoning overseas too, Afghan food, when I first got over there. And I literally shit my cami pants. I talked about it on here before.
Yeah.
And they had to give me medicine to stop me from vomiting. But it relaxed my muscles then so much because I literally couldn't stop that. Then I couldn't hold my pooper in. And I was like, I collapsed in the moon dust. They had to give me IVs. I was like, I've never felt so sick in my entire life. Mm-hmm. But it is the worst fucking feeling. Can you imagine, too, if these, like, they can predict 2 days in advance and say, like, imaginary world, like you said, like a bracelet that, like, all it's like a mood ring. I'm picturing a mood ring. I'm no scientist, but I imagine yeah. that's how it'll work.
I think that's a better idea than a bracelet. It's less intrusive.
But I'm picturing, like, back in the day when, like, Napoleon was taking his troops up into Russia and, like, illness wiped out tens of thousands. If all of a sudden you're, like, walking through your unit and you see that every, like, 3,000 of your men's bracelets have just turned purple and you're like, uh-oh. Wednesday's gonna suck.
My room is turned purple. Excuse me, sir.
Yeah.
Think about this, though. If you know 2 days in advance you are going to be sick, you know you're going to have the day off. Think about the day you can plan on your day off.
What a treat.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're sick. I think that it should go with that, and it becomes like a monitor, a GPS monitor, if you are sick.
Ooh. Soon we're
then they got to change it up.
Soon we're going to be getting chipped like dogs. In the military.
Soon,
they're
I bet
know.
They already are, yeah. honestly.
Oh, my God.
I am surprised that, like, instead of having kill data, you know, like, you have to, like, write it down and you can write your social security number on your boot or somewhere like that. Why don't they chip us like fucking dogs? Like, what? Like a whenever you go to the Humane Society and they put that little...
If there's a military lawyer out there listening, give us a call.
So they put that little rice thing, like, in the back of your neck so they could just come up and scan you and be like, oh, yeah, he belongs to Sergeant whoever.
Why don't we just wear collars with fucking tags on them? Dog tags.
Now I'm starting to get scared. Yeah, we are.
Oh, we do.
Oh, yeah.
Have for generations. Well, all right, let's move on to round number five. Is this round number five?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, round five. All right, round number five is a little bit of dog chat. We're not going to spend too long. This will be a quick one.
Wait, can I cut you off and tell you something real quick?
Yes.
Before we get into round five, I got a dog this weekend.
No.
Belgian Malinois.
Ah.
I saw the news. I was like, that's a badass fucking dog. Completed the raid. I want one, and I want it now. Went on to BelgianMalinois.com. Ordered one. Shipped it in
Did
a
you
day.
Go, oh, hopefully you went to BelgianMalinois.com/ZBT to get $10 off with the promo code CHAPS.
Promo code CHAPS.
Plus a complimentary waffle upon delivery.
Indeed, Belgian. Nice. All the way. So, yeah. Anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, so... Because of the al-Baghdadi raid, the special forces went and took him down. People did exactly like they did whenever, what was that movie? There was 101 Dalmatians. When 101 Dalmatians came out, people wanted to buy Dalmatians out the ass. When Marmaduke came out, people wanted to buy Mastiffs and Great Danes. They wanted to get big breeds. When Beethoven came out, they wanted to get St. Bernards. Some of these dogs are fit to be like pets. Like a Dalmatian is fit to be pet, even though, fun fact, Dalmatians used to be the smartest of all working breeds. Do you guys know that?
Did not know that.
Then they started smoking dope.
They were super smart for like detection and things like that. Their nose were so smart or so strong that they could go through smoke. That's why they started working with fire departments.
That was my next question. Thank you.
Yeah, so they had incredible noses, but now through inbreeding, they're fucked. Well, Belgian Malinois are now the rage. Like, people see these dogs, and they are cute. Like, they're perfect size. If you live in, like, an apartment or a smaller house with a smaller yard, you see these dogs that are 45 to 60 pounds, typically. Some of them will even be smaller. You're like, oh, that's not as big as a German Shepherd, which averages out to, like, 70 to 90 pounds. It's a smaller version of German Shepherd. They're really smart. They do protection. This is a perfect pet. They are fucking terrible pets. It's like bringing in hyena into your house. Even dog handlers that I know can't handle Belgian Malinois as a pet. Unless you have the ability to bring them outside for long periods of time and exercise them for hours a day, they are horrible pets.
Chap, let me ask you this, though. And please don't take this as trying to demean what you guys do, because obviously it's very important. But in a way, isn't it kind of like your dog is your pet, even though he's your working dog? In a way, he's your pet? Yeah. So
yeah,
maybe that's
elements,
the only
but there's
scenario.
A reason why I never brought those motherfuckers home, and they stayed in a center block cage with that was made out of center block and chain link fencing because they will destroy your home, like straight up. And then you have the same thing that happens in those movies. The shelters get flooded with them. These dogs are expensive. They have high needs. It's just a terrible idea.
I will say, if there's one thing this whole conversation about the Belgian Malinois really brought to the forefront, it's that Jeffrey Epstein did not kill himself. He was murdered in prison.
Yeah.
Anyways, <true. laughs> did you guys see that clip? Well, so
yeah.
All the news channels are talking about this now. Hey, because you're right, there's been a rush to get Belgian Malinois. And so experts now, dog handlers, are coming on the news networks as like PSAs almost,
right.
saying like, no.
Yep.
So listen all the way through to the very end. Fox News had a gentleman on to talk just about exactly what Chaps is saying. Listen till the end, because he gets a little nugget of info right at the end. And the way they handle it afterwards cracked me up, too.
So thank you and thank Nero for your service. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. If I could I throw a PSA out real quick?
Real quick.
Just the remarkable nature of these dogs and them being highlighted in the news creates a huge demand by people that frankly shouldn't have them. If you see the coverage and you decide I want one of these dogs, either buy a finished trained, fully trained and finished dog from a professional, or just don't get one at all. That and Epstein didn't kill himself.
Okay. When I first saw this clip because Coley Mick blogged it on Barstool, and I was like, if this motherfucker is using it as a way to sell his dogs, this is terrible. Mm-hmm. Like, getting people to buy even fully trained Malinois is awful. Like, they shouldn't be doing it. But then that is a good PSA at the end.
Yeah.
He did not kill himself.
I'm gonna insert that in all sorts of things today.
I feel like that's okay. Basically what my save rounds are most of the time. Just random shit that nobody needs to know or hear.
Yeah, I love Business Insider. Have you seen the new episode of This Is Us?
That's the Jeffrey best point Khan's made in a long time, honestly, just now.
Yeah.
What people fail to realize is I'm very self-aware. Self-aware. I just choose to ignore that a lot of times. That's all.
There you go.
Let's move on to round six. All right, so round number six, I was perusing the old interwebs, and sometimes I go to this Reddit page called Just Boot Things, and sometimes this stuff there is fucking hilarious. And I've always kind of thought that little sayings on the internet like No Nut November are pretty stupid. Like, mm-hmm. Those kind of things don't usually tickle my old funny bone very much, but whenever you house it in a little nugget, like kind of like whenever you're a dad or a dog handler and you have to put a piece of pill inside of like a turkey, like a little slice of turkey or inside a meatball, that's exactly what this is. Because on Just Boot Things, there was a post that said, No Nut November is a faux challenge that you can try whenever and proves nothing, whether you're accomplishing it or not. It proves that you can control your own body, says another user, which is very important and finding self-control and meaning. And then our beloved little boot chimed in, and he says, or she says, mm-hmm. Look, hon, I went four, not one, but 4 months in boot camp without masturbating. It's not an accomplishment. It's not being in control of your body. It's barely a test of willpower. It's nothing. It's nothing.
Theory. Which I heard when I was in, this is like one of those scuttlebutt whatever, is that because you ever see the Sex and the City movie?
Yes, of
when
course.
She's walking by that dog pen and the dog's just going to town on a stuffed animal. It's like, yes. It's like humping everything it sees.
Samantha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I relate. Okay. I talk about my own gray and my form. I'm a lady who enjoys fucking.
Clip that one out for mom and dad.
But anyway, I am a human being, goddammit, and I'm a lady with needs.
You should see how red your face is right now. My word.
But wait,
there's more.
I'm going somewhere with this. I'm so sweaty right now.
All right.
When I was in boot camp, I had zero urge, like nothing. Like, it completely died. And the rumor was, and I wasn't alone, like a lot of people felt that way, was that one of the shots they give you is like a 3 month boner killer, libido killer shot.
Yeah.
I mean,
it wasn't a shot for us. It was in the Jell-O, and some branch of service. I think Army doesn't go with Jell-O as a rumor. I think Army, from what I've seen, goes with the eggs at boot camp.
Oh, so it's they put something in the food or their shot.
Willie Pete,
makes you not
I think,
horny.
Is what they call it on the streets. So it makes it where you can't get a boner.
Right.
But it is strange because you have, whenever you're there, you have 3 months of, if you're in boot camp either way, you have 3 months of sexual beings. Sometimes you have to go to MCT, but God help you whenever you're done, like combat zones, like sometimes you're in combat zones where you don't have the ability to have private times. So people will have a little private time in one of those disgusting ass porter shitters.
Yeah.
Like,
that's when you know it's bad.
Desperate.
If you're trying to, honestly, parents, because we have some parents who listen to this show that want to be able to relate to their kid who's going to join the military. If you don't want your kid to, just remind them that there could be a day in their life that they're trying to either jerk off or flick the bean in a 120-degree porter shitter.
Right.
And that might steer them away. Like, you just sit down, enjoy a nice spaghetti dinner with some meatballs and be like, honey, you might have to whack the shit out of your dick in a port-a-john.
Everybody's,
think about that.
Everybody's got a story, too, of that person in their unit who got caught whacking it in a Humvee or an MRAP or whatever, like, late or on post or whatever. But also, like, another thing, the field expedient pocket pussies, where you take two socks, a rubber medic's glove, put a little lotion in there. Hey, dudes, go to town. And the rumor for the ladies was that in boot camp, we take our buffers from our M4s and we use the buffer because it does look like a tiny-ass little dildo.
Yeah.
But it's covered in CLP, which would probably give you immediate cancer. Like,
yeah, that would be so terrible.
Yeah. There was no point when I was in that I was like, I got it. You don't feel sexy on deployment. You don't feel sexy on, I guess, other people, but I don't know.
You just feel gross all the time.
I feel like I ate too much Jello or something. I don't know.
I think the grossest one that I ever saw was my buddy Jake Ritt. Shout out, Jake. He listens. So he came in one day when we were in Fallujah, and he came into, like, the common area and just grabbed, like, 7 bananas. And I was like, why are you getting all the bananas? He was like, I take the banana out and just throw that away and heat up the rind for, like, 10 seconds in the microwave and jerk off with it.
It's resourceful, if nothing else.
When we first got to Afghanistan the second time and we moved into these temporary Connex boxes before we all got pushed out to wherever, one of the groups, it was higher ranking women in my unit. I think one was like a gunny, the other was a staff sergeant. They get moved into this room and they come out. We have this meeting, like everybody meet up at like 1400 right out here. And they come out and one of them has something in a plastic bag and they're like, this is disgusting. And they throw it out on the ground. It was a homemade dildo. Some lady had really outdone herself and made a homemade, like whatever.
Is that disgusting if you're horny?
Right. And I was like, how unprofessional to bring it out. Because they wanted to find out who was in the room before them and, like, call them out. And I was like, get fucked. Like, so.
Quite literally.
Seriously. Yeah, use that homemade dildo. Get fucked.
Whatever.
You might be in a better mood.
You want to complain about people hooking up on tour? Well, let us have our dildos. My God.
And I posted this on Zero Block 30's Twitter to try to get, like, some of our listeners and some of the respondents to chime in with some of their experience. One of my favorite one has nothing to do with the military, but it comes from the Grime Minister. Had to get an emergency circumcision at 20 years old. I think I went almost a month. Also had to try to avoid getting a boner for the first 10 days. 2 out of 10 would not recommend. 2 points for the drugs that they gave me. Ron Texaco chimes in, emergency question mark. The Grime Master responded back, yes, Ronald, you read that correctly.
Ron Texaco sounds like a porn star name, by the way.
It really does. Another one, a guy named Matt said, when I was in boot camp, I broke my wrist. I had to stay in a platoon for six weeks, like, to get his wrist healed up, and then he couldn't do it himself. So you have boot camp for 3 months, 6 week pause. So that brings you to like 4.5 months.
Yeah. My goodness. Oh, man. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Nothing.
So another one,
about
Marine
that magical
Meme's account.
First time after you're finally back in the swing of things. What a treat.
A Marine Memes account said, boot camp. If you jacked off in boot camp, then you're a psycho. I know several guys I was in boot camp with that jerked off.
None of the ladies I knew. And we're just as horned up.
They are just as horned up. I remember one night, Drill Instructor Staff Sergeant Wiley was his name. He came in and there was, because you know, like a lot of times at boot camp, I don't know, did you guys do this too, Kate, where instead of getting underneath like the wool blankets, you would sleep on top of it with just your poncho liner so you didn't have to like completely make up the rack every day?
I never slept under my covers at boot camp. I always used, yeah.
I did that for 4 years in school. Never once slept under the covers, just always on top.
Yeah. You always sleep on a top. Well, because you sleep on top, occasionally the fellas, I don't know if this happens with the ladies. Do ladies have wet dreams, Kate?
I don't think we
I mean, more like slug dream, right? It's like slug dreams.
Snail trail. Sure.
Yeah, a little snail trail dream. So
this round has become very uncomfortable.
This dude fucking came his skivvies, like, big time. To the point where it came out. Stassaron Wiley doing his morning inspection, and he comes out. And these are dark forest green, olive drab wool sheets.
Right.
So he comes out, and he sees, like, what's very clearly a stream of nut, like, on his covers. And he just comes up to it, takes out his beautiful little knife hand, ducks down underneath the rack, and he just goes, "What the fuck is that?" And the kid's face was so embarrassed. But when you deal with nocturnal emissions, as the Bible would say,
yes,
what are you supposed to do?
You can't do anything about it.
No.
And especially when you're talking about boot camp, you know, the typical age is on the much younger side, because you grow out of that eventually. So it's going
to
happen.
Well,
it's inevitable.
Next thing you know,
four.
You wake up. What?
I said, circling back to round four, maybe there's a mood ring bracelet for illness, and then one that, like,
let you know when you got a nut.
When you're going to be all horned up, like, uh-oh, it's turning turquoise. You better get to the
Because the last thing you want whenever you hear those lights, for all the lights to come on is for you to have a boxer shorts full of man gravy. You just don't want that.
Indeed.
Mood ring turning a cloudy white.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
All right, let's move on to round number seven. Normally, I would preface round number seven by saying something like this elephant who is longtime stoolie, whatever. But I'm not going to do that this time, because there's an elephant in India who is named Osama bin Laden because five people were killed this week by a rampaging elephant that terrified villagers that they have dubbed bin Laden after a murderous terror leader, Osama bin Laden, according to multiple reports. The victims were trampled to death. And I want to say, I want to state on the record, we are not making fun of death. Right,
no.
Kate?
No.
Sucks
right,
that cons? Happened.
No, we would never.
But aptly named, that elephant. Gotta tell you.
Yeah, because it says, but that's not all. In the past, Laden, who they lovingly call him for short, has also attacked villages and killed people and destroyed our paddy fields. The minister said that a committee includes wildlife experts would decide what to do once the elephant is found. Honestly, if you're going to name him bin Laden because he killed a bunch of people, you got to treat him just like Rob O'Neill did. You got to put three in his face. Like, you got to take this elephant down.
Yeah, you can't allow him
Kay
to continue to terrorize.
We letting this elephant walk?
I just feel like maybe bottom of the ocean for that elephant. I feel like it's got
to
be.
Or maybe find him a place to go deep inside, like away from people. But how far can you really get away from people? Because lest we forget, elephants' migration patterns are hundreds of miles at times.
Indeed. I was just thinking that.
So there's not many places on this earth where elephants can roam without being somewhere close to
people. Well, let's hope
the
fucking Taliban doesn't get their hands on this elephant. Sheesh.
My favorite part, and the reason why we included this into the pod, because the final villager said, well, not the final, there's some other ones dead, but that are alive. But there is some, the last note in the article is we will be able to finally sleep peacefully once the killer Jumbo is captured. I imagine people just laying in their beds at night thinking about, where the fuck is bin Laden?
Where is he, man?
And then he just comes barreling through the freaking wall like the Kool-Aid man.
Be even
and
cooler.
That's what I thought when I saw Barstool Breakfast, whenever they have Za and Donnie are out in Zimbabwe right now, and they woke up and there's an elephant just outside their tent.
That's crazy.
Scary.
And hippos are like the biggest killer there. Donnie was in the water going hippo mode with hippos like 50 feet behind him.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah.
Donnie's, we don't have to do a plug,
he's awesome.
But make sure if you don't follow Barstool's other content and you only really follow Zero Block 30, make sure you're on the lookout for those videos, because I assume that the videos were Zop and our guy Donnie does in Zimbabwe are going to be absolutely incredible. The videos and shit that they've just put out on whenever Donnie just pulls a goat head out of Zaz's refrigerator, money.
Truly. Indeed.
All right, let's move on to save rounds, alibis. Kate, what do you got?
Nothing. I don't think I have anything. Speaking of checking out their content and stuff, our YouTube channel, Zero Blog 30, you can see us dealing with, was that a Belgian Malinois that took us out? Yeah, yeah. We have a video of us on YouTube getting.
No. That was a short-haired shepherd.
Oh, short-haired shepherd. Either way, still terrifying. Check it out, YouTube channel for Zero Block 30, but that's all I got.
And shout out to Kate for going to an adoption event for animals. I'm a huge adoption guy for puppies and dogs and cats.
I got to tell you, I was on the way to brunch with my friend. We made a wrong turn, mm-hmm. and we just stumbled upon this huge farm. And she had just tried to adopt a dog the week before, and it fell through.
And where was
somebody
this?
Else? Rhode Island.
Okay.
So we turned this corner, and all of a sudden, it was so every dog adoption agency in Rhode Island got together in this massive tent for a big one-day adoption event.
Cool.
Hundreds and hundreds of dogs, and I fell in
all
love.
All ages?
All ages, and there was this giant puppy pile of those little cattle dogs, those blue heelers.
Blue heelers.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, blue heeler puppies. Just a little pile of them snoozing. And then I fell in love with Hoover. He was a big old, you know, what's the big
Hoover
long slow
was
kind?
Cute.
The gray hair. His family had him for 11 years and then couldn't take care of him anymore. And I don't know.
Kate is currently
happens,
melting
man.
In her seat.
I said the same. I would figure out a way. That's a family member. That's a family
11
member.
11 years?
Yeah, I don't know how you part with that.
Dude.
Short of death, how
I can
do you just
see
part
if,
with an
if
animal?
Medical stuff came up too much and, sure. and something like that. And you, I don't know. But either way, every time somebody got adopted, a dog got adopted, they would ring a bell there. And then they would put him Aww. In a little tie-dye collar.
I did some singing this weekend. I was down.
Oh,
at
I thought
the,
you were going to say that Air Force sings second.
Yeah, they did right. sing second this weekend, unfortunately, because we couldn't figure out a way to get 7 yards on first and goal with a minute left in the game. It really stung. But aside from that, the tailgate with the Barstool Breakfast Crew down at the Florida-Georgia game, we were on stage with Low Cash. Man, I get now why people want to be rock stars. It was just such a cool feeling being up there with a rock band. And then the singers were both guys in the band. Huge stoolies. So we were supposed to be on stage for one song, like throwing t-shirts and handing out beers. And the guy comes over to me after the first song. He says, "Let's just stay up here, man. Let's just rock this thing out. Stay up here with us."
I saw the video where you grabbed the mic and yeah. you're like, "Attention, Florida. I love Business Insider." And everybody's like, "Woo!"
Yeah, no, so that was cool. So shout out to the Barstool Breakfast guys for letting me tag along on their trip. I had a lot of fun. And then also, something that I'm doing later today, Monday, as we record, and I actually didn't tell you guys this yet, I'm going to be interviewed for a special coming out on A&E on Veterans Day.
Woohoo!
Oh, nice.
Very cool. So yeah. November 11th, look for that on A&E.
Hopefully I don't get cut.
Oh, is it like an aliens thing?
Yes, yeah, it's totally all about aliens.
Love it.
Hell yeah. Love aliens. Brandon, you got anything?
Nope.
All right, cool. I don't really have anything either. I've just been enjoying spending time. Can I tell you what my favorite pastime is?
Yes.
Right now?
I want to hear it.
It's just commenting on my Instagram account.
You're going live.
I will say, it's pretty funny. The comments or the captions for the Instagrams, and then you sign it off with whether it was said by Sprinkles or Gus. I must say, it's fairly enjoyable.
Is it just Sprinkles and Gus on Instagram?
Yeah, Sprinkles and Gus on Instagram.
I'm looking at them right now.
Shameless plug.
They love it. They love getting their followers. I love it. And one guy commented on it like, "I just imagine you switching back and forth." That's all I was doing yesterday when I was sitting on the couch watching football, just switching back and forth. And I thought to myself, what would Staff Sergeant me say to me now if I knew that I was going to be a grown-ass man who made a cat and dog Instagram account and was just goofing on there?
I'm looking at
this photo
now.
I wouldn't believe it, dude. There's no way.
Your kitten Sprinkles is up on the table with its little – you have its nails covered. Her nails covered in these little, like, fake nails so she doesn't scratch. And spot of kibble for the poor, ma'am, LOL Sprinkles. And then Uncle Chaps commented, "What are you doing with your paws on the table, Missy?" So this is just – out of control.
It's very silly.
Indeed.
Keep going with the conversation. I was very proud with it.
Anyway.
No? All right. Sound the retreat.